This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. This is Jim Burke. I'm here with my co-host, John Morrow, and hey. This is Bureaucracy Now.
Right now.
Right now.
It's right now.
It's happening right now.
It's a pleasure, Jim. And I have to say, I don't know if this is even kosher to do, but just to shout out your performance and many
you
hats
may,
that you wear.
You may talk about it all you want now, John.
It's the red fingernail polish that still catches my attention. Yes. It's lovely. And you as Miss Trotsky were incredible.
Thank you.
So much fun. I haven't laughed at a live performance in so much in a long time.
Well, thank you,
yeah,
John.
It was great.
That was all in the timing, presented by Saltfire Theater, directed by Genevieve. And it was, it closed on Sunday. And yes, I was Mrs. Trotsky in John Ives' All in the Timing on the part that's called Variations on the Death of Trotsky. Trotsky's walking around with a mountain climber's axe in his skull.
It was so fun, and props to every performer and all those who played a huge role in making it a success. That kind of artistic vitality is part of what this town's about, and it's kind of a theme for today's show, actually.
Yeah, and Genevieve Barlow, who directed the show, is like a dynamo.
Mm-hmm.
She got great performances out of everyone she cast in that play and the material she chose, and we set up and took down everything at a vintage every night when we performed it.
Ding.
Ding.
Squeegee.
Squeegee.
We have a guest today. I'm really excited
Velcro.
About our guest.
Non sequitur. Yes, tell us, John,
Could I introduce Lindsay Wayland, who's our
Please.
Guest? She's a member of the Port Townsend Arts Commission, and built on the backs of others before her a long-running goal to have a poet laureate program. But Lindsay's added, as a poet herself, quite a lot of focus and grit and productivity to get us to actually have a program, and we're here today to talk about it. So welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here with you.
And you can eat the microphone. We want to hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, just 6 inches is great.
And I think, first off,
John and I, we're incredibly loud.
Let's describe the program, and then I think you probably have a call for applicants as well. So do you want to talk, what is a poet laureate program, and why does it matter to Port Townsend?
Great question. Poet laureate program is a program that celebrates the literary arts and brings poetry and the written word into the civic discourse. And I think it celebrates the written word and poetry and the threads of what it means to be human into our government and weaves the community together.
That is so meta. I love it. That is, so you just covered everything.
No, it's a worthy goal, too. I appreciate that.
And I guess we have quite a wealth of talent here locally in probably every form, but particularly with poetry. Talk to us a little bit about what the Arts Commission is looking for as this pilot project launches now.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it and really went into detail about the program and the ideas that we hoped this would ignite in the people of Port Townsend. And I think what we're really looking for is someone who's excited to bring poetry to the people and someone who loves poetry, who perhaps is a poet.
or is about to become one.
But someone who's really excited to bring and celebrate the written word to the community. And there have been all kinds of unique ways that poets laureate across the country have established their legacy in the literary arts within their community, large or small. By that I mean U.S. poet laureate versus a state poet laureate versus a city poet laureate. All three are so valuable at their levels. And I think we're so open to how the poet laureate embraces bringing poetry to the people. There's so much detailed information on our website link, and we can add that, I guess.
You can go to
what is the website?
You can go to cityofpt.us.
Yes.
And then unless you have the URL, there is under government, there's commissions and boards. And you can go to the Port Townsend Arts Commission page, and it's part of that page.
It's at the very bottom.
Hidden. So determined poets will want to go there.
Yes.
To apply to be poet laureate of Port Townsend.
Yes.
Right? And would poet laureates also, because I know that poetry is also a spoken thing, would they be selected also based on their ability to speak their words and perform them? Not just what they write, but how they say it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that part of the leg of the Poet Laureate, at least from the Port Townsend pilot program's perspective, is ceremonial. Mm-hmm. And poets often have a way of capturing things that the community goes through together in a way that grounds us in what it means to be human and go through things together as a community. And the ability to speak that is a beautiful gift.
Yes.
It's not going to be a necessary gift that someone is comfortable public speaking, but I'm imagining that a lot of the people who will be applying are going to be comfortable.
Because they've already done that at open mic night, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm what brings to mind, of course, is Maya Angelou when she was poet laureate, when Clinton was inaugurated, I believe, and then Amanda Gorman when Biden got inaugurated. I'm having chills right now thinking about it because her poem was so astoundingly beautiful, so inclusive. It spoke so much about the various struggles that various Americans have had over centuries and how we can rise above that and come together and grow and change and be better. And then just recently, of course, last week, that idiotic thing where they said, oh, no, we can't have that in our classrooms. That's too upsetting to white people, apparently. Very odd. But I think she, you know, she really talked back to them very well, and she welcomed the attention, which was fantastic. She's a great, great poet and an amazing speaker. Amazing.
Yes. In words, maybe they're still there, but for a while, when I would walk, ride, run, drive, whatever, past Blue Heron, you know, the words of our National Poet Laureate were there in written form in Port Townsend. So there was a physicality of it as well that was a nice reminder of actually what that poem stood for. And, you know, it reduced some of us to tears because it was so moving.
It was.
And, you know, maybe that's a pretty high bar to try to compare, you know, but we're up for the challenge, aren't we? In our city, for someone who can have that, you know, real ceremonial and powerful impact within our community. You know, I wonder, Lindsay, if you could also explain what could this manifest as in terms of, you know, what can a poet laureate do for you? Where will we see this individual? How will we hear this individual?
Can they carry your bags?
How will it manifest in Port Townsend? And it's not one answer, but there's just a number of ways, like the ceremonial, that it might. So describe that a bit.
Yeah. Another part of the program that we've created is an educational component that the Poet Laureate brings. And so they're going to be offering educational aspects of poetry and inspirational. So those are the three crux pieces of the program. Mm-hmm. And we're really open to how that we really want someone creatively bringing themselves. You know how you can tell when a football player is really good at football and they've been conditioned by their parents or their coaches all through their years, and they play different than how someone who was born to play with a ball and like be like this is what they love to do. Mm-hmm. And I feel so much more invested in people who are alive doing what makes them feel alive. And I think that we want the Poet Laureate to feel alive in bringing poetry to the people how they are most comfortable doing that. An example that I love that Nat Nichols talks about is an Oregon Poet Laureate created a poetry hotline. So you could call in and get a poem read to you over the telephone. There are all kinds of other ways that other poets laureate have engaged with literary arts in the civic discourse. And I'm really excited for the creativity of the individuals who apply. Part of our application process is to hear what they think they might do with the scope of work. And we are so open to how that looks and what that looks like coming out of the creative minds of people.
It's just so great.
Yeah, feeling alive and inspired.
There's a lot there with what you just said. It really, you know, the whole room kind of glistened a little bit when you said that. And maybe there's a reference point I want to make to what we might talk about next, because that same kind of passion comes through in a lot of different ways in our town. And actually, that's how we started. I mean, I got that sense when I was at that wonderful Salt Fire play. So, for those who are thinking, and I'm not trying to gush at you, Jim, I just really truly did have a fun time.
No, it's so sweet.
What
he laughed, he cried.
For those actually who we might have caught their interest here, or who know somebody, or who just want to help us get the word out, because that's really why I'm really grateful that you're part of the Arts Commission, because it's, you know, it's a volunteer position to try to help steward, you know, together, you know, an artistic community here in Port Townsend. But also I'm really grateful for coming on air and actually trying to pump up the program. So for those who might be interested or know someone, tell us about the timeline. We know where to find it on the city website. Yes. What about timeline and what's required?
Great question.
And before you answer that, I'm just going to mention that you can write to dj@kptz.org while this show is going on if you have a question for me, John, or Lindsay about any of this.
And sorry to add another thing to make it more complicated, keep that thought in your head, but if people have questions about this, obviously the best place to go is the Arts Commission and the website, but you could also send it to anybody at the city, including me, and I'm happily able to reroute people's queries and information and make sure the right person gets it. I just want to make sure everyone can get their questions answered and have access
and
to the program.
And get things in on time. Yeah. So what is the timeline, Lindsay?
Beautiful. And thank you both for that openness and willing to receive
certainly
our residents. I'm really excited about all of this. So the timeline is that we are closing applications on June 30th. We have a wonderful panel who is comprised of writers and poets and people who are really celebrating the literary arts professionally and personally. And we will be meeting in early July to go over the applications. All of this will be transparent, open meetings, and we hope to have a Poet Laureate decided by August, and we will announce in January of next year.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a long teaser there.
It's a long wait.
Yeah. Wow. It's exciting. So and let's talk about the duration.
Of course, the Poet Laureate will know once they're chosen.
The Poet Laureate will know.
And then
they'll
be getting ready.
Correct.
For the unveiling. Yeah.
And so for this, just for those also listening, the initial pilot attempt at this is a year-long designation as Poet Laureate. Is that right?
Yes.
And so from January 1st, 2024 through December 31st or whatever, you know, that's the year of activity. And I love what you speak about kind of taking the lead from whoever is selected on how to make it creative and really make, you know, bring poetry to the people. I like how you say that. So, yeah, we're getting really excited. We've never done this before. And I know that there are other jurisdictions nearby that have just started programs. So we're early adopters and we've got some great lessons to kind of learn. But I like being on the vanguard of this too. So top marks to the Arts Commission for driving this forward.
Yeah. It's been really beautiful to witness the vigor and the passion of the other commissioners and myself getting together and being excited about this and wiggling around within the scope of what we do to make room for this.
I have to say about the city, the Board of Commissioners, the city council members, for example. So four of them are running for re-election this year.
Yeah.
No one is opposing them. Are they all that good? Is that what's happening?
That's great fodder for a poem on January 1st when they're reseated in their roles. So I'll leave that to the Poet Laureate.
And the Arts Commission, how many people are on the Arts Commission, Lindsay? Do you know?
I'm counting.
I'm counting too.
Oh.
I believe
11.
It's
that many then? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And are some of the people who are on the Arts Commission also crossover from other parts of city government, or are they just all people from the community?
So, yeah, they're all community representatives. They're obviously in this community, we all wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
So, but you know, there's a council liaison who's not required to be at the meetings, but just as a conduit to city council, as well as a staff liaison. So there's some staff and council member, you know, elected support, but it's an appointed advisory body, just much like the Parks Board or you know, the Library Advisory Board, a number of volunteer boards, which really help lift a lot of the work and kind of keep us moving forward on the work plan for the city, whether it be around parks and recreation to poetry and public art siting to, you know, library programming. I mean, there's just so much community volunteer energy here that we're trying to steward in the same direction. And this is a good example of how it works and works well.
There's nine of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. I don't know. I put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's good. It's good information to have. Mm-hmm. Did we want to just go quickly into the things that the Poet Laureate applicants are going to provide?
Yes. Sure. Let's talk about the goods.
Great. So it's just basic information at first. And then we're also going to want a biographical statement, just a short bio for the applicants, and 4 to 6 poems of theirs from the last 3 years. And a brief narrative. This is a 1 to 2 page writing of what their intent is within the scope of work. Mm-hmm. So this is where they will be creative. And we understand that there's so much, you know, mutable energy within that and synergy that happens when we maybe meet with them and start to co-create and plan with them.
Right.
But this is the original seeds or the impetus of their intent within the scope of work. Mm-hmm. So they will write that, and then we want their resume.
Wow.
First one.
Are you ready, John?
Am I ready for it?
Do you have all that for the application?
I think I probably would be conflicted out. My first class in university was a poetry class.
Oh, see?
You know, so, but I'm not going to claim to be good at it. I enjoy writing and I enjoy poetry.
Okay. But you don't necessarily write poetry good.
Well, I have to say that when I presented the Poet Laureate program to the city council, John did recite a haiku
presentation.
Oh, I made it up on the spot.
You did.
So the quality was pretty low.
But
and it was sort of like a little bit of a crickets response. And I thought, that didn't go over very well.
Okay,
but I tried.
But
you know,
did you remember what you do? You remember what you said?
I think it was an ode to the Poet Laureate program, and I can't. You have to roll the tapes to see what nonsense I sputtered.
I have to dig through that.
It would be worth it to roll the tapes, though, because I also read a beautiful poem from a Santa Cruz Poet Laureate. Mm.
Yeah. Actually, I would. Here's a call to action. Go back and listen to Lindsay read that in the the city archives, because it actually sets the tone for the program so well. It was a really great scene setter for what the Poet Laureate's about. And I thought it was really about community, and it just spoke to me quite well. So it was very well curated. That's a really, go back and watch that piece of city council magic.
Yeah, beautiful poem.
Yeah.
Just a tidbit too, that brings alive how cultures over time have valued poetry. Someone told me once that in ancient Japan, poets and calligraphers could bring their poetry into the marketplace and trade for the finest of wares, their beautifully calligraphed poetry. And the townspeople and the people of the court deeply revered poetry in that way. And I think that's something I'm really excited about, the city getting involved with the Poet Laureate program, because it's such a statement that we do value the literary arts.
Absolutely. I think one of the things I remember the day before I started my job back in 2019, we were doing an opening of a piece of physical infrastructure. And I, much like that haiku, I had to make up a speech on the spot. And I think one of the things that I remember wanting to say, I think it came out, luckily, I don't think anyone was recording it, was that, you know, this is a physical piece of infrastructure, but the social infrastructure and the artistic infrastructure is equally important. And part of what makes a community. So to see ways of actually creating new infrastructure, including this program, that can bind us together, that's place-based, that's about our community, is you know, arguably just as important to making sure that the water system is running and the streets aren't completely just potholes. So it's a value add for the community. And you know, I think like any public art or expression, it's going to garner a number of different opinions. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit, is that, you know, the response isn't meant to be widespread praise of everything as I resonate with that. It's awesome. It's intrinsically good, but it starts a conversation. And I think that's, you know, when I hear criticisms of art, for instance, I think, hey, that's actually good that people are talking about it, because that's what it's meant to spur a reaction, even if the reaction isn't one that's necessarily positive. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, Lindsay, just, you know, as a conversation starter in a community where we want to be talking more about this kind of value in our community.
Yeah, I think that this stirred up quite a lively discussion within the Arts Commission when we were creating this program and writing the program, I think, to present to the City Council. What does it look like to have someone who stirs the pot a little bit versus someone who is placating tragedy, for example? You know, both of those roles are really important.
Thoughts and prayers.
Right. But even more than that, the depth of saying, here we are together, sitting here looking face at something that's very challenging, very hard. We're in this together. That kind of sentiment is more what I mean by placating, or like working together, looking at something together, versus, stirring the pot a little bit. I think that we all have in our intimate community people who are both of those types.
Yeah.
And I think that there's lots of opinion about one or the other being the right fit for a poet laureate. Right. And I don't have a strong opinion about that, but I do feel excited that people are passionate about one or the other, and I look forward to seeing what evolves from that. I do really think that art is not just to soothe, although it can, but that art does bring up a lot of essential pieces of being human, which are not always clean.
And not always comfortable.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, it's a metaphor for public engagement in any form. And I think that's what's sometimes unnerving, is that, you know, we either expect consensus or no conflict or no difference of opinion, but actually what we're missing out on is a dialogue that could be productive and where we might be able to walk away maybe being a little smarter, maybe thinking about things differently. And to not turn away from that, I think, is our challenge as a community, as a society, possibly as, you know, feasters of, you know, auditory listening to poetry or reading it, or engaging in public discourse. And I think, you know, the magic happens when we listen, when we engage, not when we just assume, like, keep your head down or just criticize.
And that's also true of when we see something differently. Like, ever since I've been here in town, I've been hearing people talk about the concrete sculptures that are around town and the wooden sculptures, which were not part of the Arts Commission's work. I just want to point that out. But that people from a distance criticize these pieces in so many brutal ways on places like Nextdoor and Facebook. And I was very often the person who would go, have you walked around the thing? Have you actually stood like 3 feet from it and walked around it, looked at it from different perspectives, different times of day, or seen the detail that's in there? Because it might look like this monolith of wood or concrete from a distance, but if you look at the piece of concrete up close, oh, there's CDs buried in there and all sorts of other interesting things, marbles and stuff.
Yeah.
Or the wooden part, the wooden sculptures are like, the shadows change throughout the day. They're kind of like sundials in a way. I think they're fascinating.
It's a prompt, right?
Yeah.
It's a prompt for a conversation. And I think I'd love to, as a community, get beyond like, I hate that, or that's terrible, or yeah. I'm
what a waste of money.
Yeah, that's usually, you can have those opinions. That's fine, but I'd love to get more to the refined of like, here's what I resonate with, here's what I don't, here's where I think it's missing, here's where I think it kind of spurs some negative reaction, and actually share the why with each other more in a way that isn't just so binary and oppositional.
Right.
But here, it's a bit of a pipe dream of mine. I've got opinions too. It's
okay.
You
know, it's 2023. Yeah. Things can continue to change and evolve, I hope.
True. Can I scoot a few things into this conversation?
Sure, we have about negative 20 seconds.
Negative 20 seconds.
Well, you know, we can go right to one. In fact, you know, I have the discretion, because I'm the DJ for Blues Journey this afternoon, I have the discretion of just continuing on, unless Don Trethaway is assuming he's going to come in here.
Looking for raucous and incendiary reactions from Kate Ingram. I'm not seeing them.
No.
She looks perfectly tranquil.
Placid.
So, look, I wanted a couple things. I think there's one
I also have this. I can play a clip from this video for the audio.
Oh, my gosh. Look at you multitasking.
Do you want me to do that?
Let's do that, and then let's pivot to another piece that I'd like to bring
up. All right. I'm going to see if I can get the volume right here.
How we start the
annual rate meetings.
I think was that the city council singing harmony there? I think
that was.
You could really pick out Monica's voice there. Yeah. You know, it's.
See. Come on now. Oh, it's muted, of course.
To the grassy hills of Chesimoca Park.
Right. Oh.
And every coffee.
Okay, so
Starting again.
If you call Port Townsend home, you know we live in a special place. From the historic allure of iconic Water Street to the grassy hills of Chesimoca Park, and every coffee-loving, boat-building, trail-walking neighbor that contributes to the lifeblood of our city. We love living here, and the reasons why are endless. But what does the future look like? 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road and beyond. How do we choose the future we want instead of reacting passively to what we get? The truth is that right now, the level of city services we enjoy is not sustainable given our current budget and financial.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to just cut Shelley off like
sure.
that?
Sure. Was that Shelley?
So first Fantastic. Off, I thought wow. you were going to the city council meeting.
No,
where Lindsay
no,
was talking
I'm
about
so it. Sorry. So, no, that would have taken
so
me
no
an
intro.
Hour.
So no intro there for me.
No, but, sorry.
But buddy. For those who wonder, why did the voice just change and there was some background music, let me just explain.
Yeah. Sorry, John.
It's okay.
I thought you knew I was playing the video.
No.
The new video.
I didn't. So... another call to action. So let's just wrap up the last conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think you want to be a poet laureate and you have what it takes, go and apply. Yes. We want people to apply by the end of this month. End of June, June 30th.
Yes.
Short month. Go to the cityofpt.us. Go to the Arts Commission webpage and scroll down and apply to the Poet Laureate program, please. And thank you, Lindsay, for being such a fierce advocate for this and actually bringing the program together. Quick pivot before we go to we'll go to video because you surprised me there.
Oh, sorry.
So we are also trying to speak to a variety of other needs beyond the literary arts, and back to potholes, back to you know, a lot of the city services that are core services we provide, and it's a big year for that. So there are a lot of decisions lined up, including that impact this very spot we're sitting,
right.
And its future that we're trying to determine with the community involvement. This isn't a pre-baked decision, and there's actually no current trajectory except for let's put some options out there to the community, and we're listening and kind of iterating with their responses. But same thing with, you know, not just parks, but with streets, with housing, with core services. You know, we're kind of at a crossroads where, you know, we're not in a danger zone right now with resources, but if we choose to do nothing, we kind of get what we get. And what we're trying to say to the community is, look, we can make deliberate, proactive decisions together about what we want and what the trade-offs are if we do it now, because instead of being on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we wanted to do as part of what we're calling our financial sustainability project is to produce 5 short videos. And that first one that you just played some of the audio is 1:34 long. It's voiced over by Shelley Levins, who is our communications and marketing manager I think she did that voiceover in the first week of her job.
No kidding. I mean, she came on board 2 weeks ago, John. Now, she was sitting right here in her
first day of work.
I know.
On the air. And of course, it takes a village too. We have a lot of staff who have participated and council members who are driving this forward. So we really want to get the word out. It's a minute and a half to watch that video, right. And there'll be one every week from now until mid-June. So as you ponder your, you know, Poet Laureate application, you can get inspiration about, you know, the literary arts and also core city services.
It's well produced.
By going to the video. Yeah. And it should be pretty quick and easy, and you can follow up and share on Facebook and elsewhere. So please do that.
Yeah. And Shelley's voice is fantastic, by the way. And she was interviewed by Phil Andrus last week, and she's been on Attention Please this last Monday at noon and 5 and Saturday at noon. Mm-hmm. That interview is being played, and she had a lot of really great insights into the city and the Jefferson County Historical Museum, where she was director for 5 years.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just wanted to shout out in the last minute. I just came from the symposium. I can do the morning part, but the high school, Port Townsend High School, is having their senior symposium day. And I have to say, you know, I'm not saying this sort of tokenistically. I mean, these kids are ridiculously amazing. I was blown away. There was a young woman who was doing a project around a compilation of poetry that I was just talking to Lindsay about. You know, there was somebody who was talking about managing a coffee shop, lights at the skate park, an internship and work with KEXP.
I'm sorry,
it's a different radio station.
What?
Somewhere in Seattle, I guess. Benches, building benches, literally leaving things behind at the school that are public value. And the last one was just like spellbinding a horror sort of humor comedy production that was just, it's going to knock your socks off. So these are all 6 high school students graduating right now who are presenting their work to a community panel, of which I was really honored to be one of them. And I'm just thinking, yes, like, how do we keep some of this talent in town? They were amazing. Oh, yeah.
Bring them back after college.
Yeah. Youth Poet Laureate programs.
Good idea. Good idea.
Fantastic. Mm. Lindsay, John.
Hey, Jim.
Thank you. Hey, thank you. We ran over, but it was for a very good reason. I'm going to play this song, and then we're going to say our goodbyes. First, I have to say, this is KPTZ in Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. Thanks, John. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
See you next week.
Sure.
Bye for now.
Bye.